And David is in a mess. David is in a mess. He's went down among the Philistines. Been down there for 16 months almost. And here they are, they're getting ready to go to war, and David and his men's right in the middle of it. To go fight Israel, who he'll be king over someday. So he got himself in this situation. But I want to read a verse of scripture to you out of 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And I'll tell you what, this message today did two things to me as I was preparing it. It put made me fear God. The fear of God come on me. And also, I was so thankful for God's grace. It put the fear of God in me. But here's what God said in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptations taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And that's what God did for David. He made a way of escape. And you know, I read through here, and it says there in verse 2 that David and his men passed on the river with Achish. He's in the army. He's marching with them. And if this is all the information you had about David, what would you conclude? He's down there among the Lord's enemies, among the Philistines, a bunch of heathen idolaters. But this is the man after God's own heart. This is God's anointed king. This is David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is David who defeated Goliath. God loved this man. But if all you see of him was the 16 months that he lived down there with the Philistines, with Achish, the king of Gath, you would conclude that David couldn't be a saved individual with all that he did. And there's getting to be a great military gathering. There's going to be a great war. Back over here in chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare. Fixed to start a war. And who are they going to war with? Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou surely that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. They're going to war against Israel, and they said, you and your men are going to go with me. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee the keeper of mine own head forever. And so war was getting ready to take place. And David and his men are in the mix of it. Right in the mix of it. Would you think that David would actually fight against Israel? You think David would actually go and fight against Israel? It said there that David marched in the rearward with Achish. I don't know if he would have, but here are him and his men marching off to war against Israel with the Philistines, with one of the kings. And I'm going to say something right here, and I don't believe there'll be a contradiction to it. There's no sin a believer could not commit except the sin against the Holy Ghost. There's not a sin a believer could not commit. There really ain't. And if you don't know that about yourself, you know, Hebrews 10:26 says this, If we sin willfully, you reckon there's any other way to sin? If we sin willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, we know the truth, and yet we go on and sin willfully, and we walk away from Christ, or do some of these things like David did. And let me ask you, what sin haven't we committed in our minds? What sin haven't we committed in our minds? I'd be afraid to say. But if you just look at the Ten Commandments about murder, how many times have you murdered somebody in your mind? When the Bible says, thou shalt not covet, how much covetousness have we had go through our minds? How we covet a good word or a good report or some recognition or a praise or somebody saying something good about us. That's as covetous as anything. And if you hear someone saying, believers don't do like that, don't do like David did, go off and march against Israel. If you hear somebody say, believers don't do that, do like things like that. When you hear somebody say something like that, you're hearing a very unwise person, blind to what they really are and what they would not do if not restrained by God Himself. Wonder how much God has restrained us when we weren't even conscious of it. Conscious of it. And David got in this position, caught here in this Philistine army, caught in this awful position of being in this Philistine army to go fight against Israel. Got himself in this position by unbelief. You remember a couple weeks ago I preached on, look over in chapter 27, verse 1, unbelief in a believer. Look what it said here. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so I shall escape. And David arose and went down with his 600 men down among the Philistines. You reckon David, look here in verse 3. Look what it says. Then said the princes, and we'll go down through here and just comment on these some as I get to them. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? What are these Hebrews doing here? What's David and his men doing here? What did you know? And you reckon David thought, what am I doing here? You reckon he thought, what in the world am I doing here? How did I get myself into this mess? How am I going to get out of it? How am I going to keep from going fighting against Israel? How am I going to get out of being in this army? Getting out of this mess that I'm in? He got himself down there, mixed up with these Philistines, the enemies of God, through his own unbelief. He had been with them a year and 4 months and knew this man, and he knew that Achish and all the Philistines were idolaters. They had a god named Dagon. You all remember about Dagon. When the Ark of the Covenant was put in there, Dagon fell flat on his face. Lost his hands, lost his feet, lost everything. But David went down there knowing that, hear, O Israel, our God is one God. Our Lord is one Lord. And he got down there and he didn't say anything to them about their idolatry, about their false god, about their false worship. So that right there automatically put him in a compromised position. And David fell. And oh, how he fell. And he fell badly, greatly, greatly. And then, you know, Achish said to David, oh, is not this David the servant, the king of Saul? They knew him. They knew his reputation. And here's the thing they said, he's the servant of Saul, the king of Israel. And Achish said, I find no fault in him. He's not rebuked me, he's been good to me. In a way, that's good. In a way, that's good. That he said, I find no fault in him. In another way, it's very, very bad. Because here's a heathen king, a worldling, an idolater, approving of you. Would you want some heathen to approve of you? Would you want the Pope to approve of you? Would you want some priest somewhere to approve of you? And say, boy, because he did not stand up the way he should have stood up as a king, anointed king, as one who knew God. Oh my. And then look what they said in verse 5. You know, the princes of Israel, the Philistines said, oh my, said, you make this man go back where he come from. He'll turn around and be an adversary to us. He'll turn against us when we get out there in the battle. He'll turn around and turn against us. And look what they said about him. They said, you know, they said to Achish, you stupid, why are these Hebrews here? Why are you allowing them to be among us? And then these Philistines said this, is not this David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? Oh my, they knew his reputation. They were afraid of him. If he decides to war against us, he'd come up behind us and we ain't gonna stand a chance, is what they were saying. It's what they're saying. Don't you remember who he is? Remember what a warrior he is? Don't you remember how wise he was and how brave he was and how powerful he was? And then they said, make him return. Make him return. Well, look what Achish said here. Verse 7, 6 and 7. Then Achish called David, said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, you've been upright. You're going out and you're coming in with me as the host is good in my sight. Good in my sight. He's good and upright. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to be good. Good and upright. That's a good thing. But bad in that he kept his mouth shut. Bad that he did not reprove him. Bad that he did not stand up for the one true and living God. But now watch what he says now in verse 7. Here's God made him a way of escape right here. Here's where God made a way for him to get out of there and get out of the situation he's in. We don't have to go and get mixed up with these Philistines in a war. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines or do evil in their eyes. And here's God's wonderful, wonderful providence in preventing David from committing a sin, even against Israel and especially against God. He said, return in peace. Let me show you something over in Genesis 20. Keep this and look over in Genesis 20. God has always, always took care of his people. Always has. Even when they get themselves in a mess through their unbelief, get themselves because of fear of man or some temptation that's taken them. You all may remember this right here. And Genesis 20, 1 through 6 here. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled in between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Oh my. Took Sarah. Wonder what Abraham thought then. That man took my wife. But listen to what happens. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart. Now listen to this now, right here, I want you to listen. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I not thee to touch her. God said, I kept you back from it. It wasn't because it wasn't in you to do it. I kept you back from it. I kept you back from sinning against me. And that's exactly what he's doing for David here. He's keeping you. Said, David, now listen, you get out of this situation you're in. I'm going to save you out of it. I'm going to make a way for you to get out of it. And you return in peace. Now we're aware of the fact that any sin we have not committed is God preventing us in His blessed providence. But now listen, did David, he said, look what he said to, in verse 8, he said to Achish. But David said unto Achish, but what have I done? What hast thou found in thy service so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of thy Lord? Did David really feel this way, that he wanted to go with Achish? Or was he acting deceitfully? Was he acting deceitfully? Was David lying to Achish? He had before. He had before. Couldn't he see that God in His providence was getting him out of this mess, let him return? Did let him return? Could he not see that? Get him out of this mess that he's in here, down here with these Philistines? Now go back in peace. The Philistines don't want you. They don't want you fighting us. Go home. Go home. God opened the door wide for him to go. Did they have any intention of going back to Israel? I don't think so. He got himself into a horrible mess through unbelief, and it don't seem like he wanted to get out. It's like Lot. You remember when Lot was down in Sodom. God went down there and told him to get out. Get out, get out, get out. And Lot just waited and waited and waited and waited and waited before he ever left. And when God went down there and an angel got him by the hand. People hate to leave Sodom. They hate to come out. And he got him by the hand. This where I was born. This where I was raised. This where I raised my children. This where my son-in-laws and my daughters live. This has got the best malls down here. We make more money here than any place. And God said, I'm going to destroy it. And Lot just lingered and lingered and lingered and lingered. And God told him, said, if you look back, it's just like you never left. And he lingered and lingered. And finally an angel of the Lord went down there and got him by the hand. And he dragged him out of Sodom. He had to drag him out of Sodom. You know why I drug him out of Sodom? Because he was one for whom Christ died. And that's the same thing he's going to do with us when he destroys this world. Beloved, he's going to take his elect out of here, and he's not going to send an angel to do it. He's coming himself to get it. Huh? But oh my. And look what happens now. In verse 9, and David answered and said to Achish, I know that thou art good in my sight. And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, here's God's providence, notwithstanding the prince of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to battle. God saved him from going to war against his own people. God stopped that. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with your master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, you depart. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines while the Philistines went to Jezreel. Now let me ask you some things. What do we learn from this dark, dark time in David's life? It is a dark time. 16 months down there. 16 months. And let me tell you this. If you would have seen if you would have seen Noah, and I'm not, being Bruce talked about this yesterday, these things, they put the fear of God in me. When Noah got off that ark, planted him a vineyard, and the first grapes he picked off of it, he made him some wine and got drunk and lay naked in his tent. Would you have said he was saved then if you'd been there and seen him doing that? When you saw David go down and take Uriah's wife and got her pregnant, and then tried to get Uriah to come and sleep with her so he'd think it was his baby. And Uriah wouldn't do it because he loved David so much and he wouldn't go near his own wife. Well, how am I going to get out of this mess? David said, I know what, I'll kill Uriah and I'll take his wife. Would you have said David was saved then? When Simon Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and then you heard him started weeping and cursing bitterly. That's what it said. Weeping and cursing bitterly. If you would have stood there and watched him do that, you know what you would have said? There's no way in the world. Impossible. 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 And you could go on and on and on. But what do we learn? And these things are written. When I think of them, it scares me. It puts a fear. It scares me. It scares me about myself. And I'm not scared for you. I'm scared for me. But what do we learn from this dark, dark time in David's life? First thing we learn, that the Scriptures tell the real story. The Scriptures tell the truth on all of us. But it told the truth on David right here. You know, if a human biographer had told the story of David, unless he just hated David and wanted to destroy his life, he would have left this part out. You know, you read a person's biography and you think, you read Spurgeon's biography or George Whitfield's biography or John Newton's biography, you read these men's biography and you think these folks got up in the morning, lived the holiest life all day and went to prayed all day and gave their whole life. I mean, they didn't do nothing wrong. And you'd read those guys, and every time I'd read them, I'd go away feeling, boy, I don't know nothing about God. Boy, they so spiritual. I said, how could they be so spiritual, me be so fleshly? But the Scriptures tell the real story on us. And you have a chapter like this in every believer's lives. Are there not periods in our lives, if that was all people saw us do, that they say, well, I don't believe they're saved. Huh? They say, these people are not the disciples of Christ. The Scriptures tell the real story. Second thing we learn from this, how weak we are. Yeah. Huh? Do you see yourself here? Or do you see somebody else? Oh, I see somebody else doing that. I couldn't see me doing that. Oh, how weak we are. You know, God said He remembers our frame, that we're but dust. Dust. You know what it takes to do with dust? A little wind can stir it up. The third thing that we learn from this is the only way a man like David, in the situation he's in, could be saved. Be like the situation he's in. There's only one way he could be saved. And it's what we call TULIP. It's what we call TULIP. David, and we understand that the only way anybody's going to be saved, we know that man's totally, utterly depraved, totally unable to save himself. And that God unconditionally elects a people. And then the Lord Jesus Christ died. His atonement was limited to the people to whom he was died for. And then there has to be irresistible grace sent to those people because they don't have the will or the power or inclination to come. An irresistible grace, an irresistible force has to be put on them. And then when that happens, then there's preservation. You know the reason God's people persevere is because they're preserved. They're preserved. And God, here's David been down there all these months in this Philistine army getting ready to go to war. And God said, I'm going to stop him. I'm going to stop him. I'm going to make them Philistines to stop, and they're not going to let him go to war. And here's the fourth thing we learn. Thank God for restraining grace. Thank God for restraining grace that prevented David from this. He would have went on, but grace would not let him. God said, you've went this far and you ain't going no further, David. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, and you cannot do the things that you would. You can't. You just can't. You can't be as sinful as you would, and you can't be as spiritual as you would. But I'll tell you one thing, we can be more sinful than we can be spiritual. Because it's easier. It's easier to give in to the flesh than it is to give in to the spirit. You know as well as I do. This flesh always goes the path of least water. Water takes the path of least resistance. And that's the way this flesh does. It takes the path of least resistance. If we didn't have restraining grace that says you can go here this far, but you can't go no further. And here's a fifth thing. What did David, we learned from David in this dark, dark time. Thank God for providential grace. And what do I mean by that? God put this in the hearts of the Philistine kings to say, we do not want David with us. We don't want him to go with us. We're afraid of David. So in his providence, they wouldn't let David go with them. God put it in their hearts. Put it in their hearts. And oh, may God put it in men's hearts. And put it in men's hearts to not let us go in the wrong direction. Somebody pointed out to us. And then thank God for free grace. Look back up here in verse 8. Thank God for free grace. David said unto Achish, but what have I done? What hast you found in your servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of thy Lord my king, the Lord of my Lord the king? It seemed like David was kicking against God's providence right here. Seemed like God opened the door for him and he didn't want to walk through it. But thank God for free grace. God wouldn't let him kick against the pricks. God wouldn't let him keep on the way he did. And here's the seventh thing. Thank God for eternal grace that refused to let David fall away. He fell. He fell. The righteous fall seven times, but the Lord holds him up. And just like the rivers of waters in the hands of the Lord, so is the king's heart. He turns it wherever he turned these king's heart to where they didn't want David with them. But thank God for eternal grace that refused to let David fall away. He would have. He would have. But you know what our Lord said? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Huh? Oh my. Oh, we believe in the saints' security. You know what it said in 2 Timothy 2:19? The foundation of God standeth sure. How do we know? For the Lord knows them that are His. David was God's when he went down the Philistines. He is God's while he's down there, and God let him go so far and said, David, you're bringing you back. He's the same one that said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, he didn't want for God's protecting grace right here, did he? Oh, thank God for eternal grace that just refused to let David fall away. God ain't going to let his children. We fall. Oh, my goodness, I tell you. I'm just. Ooh. Oh, just. If you see, there's times if you saw me there, you'd say, there's no way in the world I'd ever hear that preacher again. There's no way in the world. He would have, you wouldn't even let me in your house. And last, whoa, see David in these dark, dark times. Oh my. Thank God for grace that brings good out of evil. Oh, David done evil, but God brought good out of it. Oh, he brought good out of it. When you get over here to first, we get over here in chapter 30, you'll see how David preserved him and what he saved him for and what David's going to do next. And let me say this. And I've seen it, and I've done it. If you see a believer acting like an unbeliever, don't be too hard on them. We hear about people married for a long time, they decide not to be married anymore. Don't be too hard on them. We don't know what's going on in their home. And if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in meekness, considering thyself also, considering you. And if you're a believer and you get yourself in a mess, and you could even appear to be an unbeliever to others, I know this, the Lord can deliver you out of it. Cry out, Lord, help me. Oh, God, help me. God, have mercy on me. Learn to pray. When the 12 said, Lord, teach us to pray, you know what he said? One of the things he taught them to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Oh God, don't let us go into temptation. And Lord, please deliver us. Deliver us from evil. God opened a door of escape for David, and he left there. The king said, go in peace. Kept him from going against Israel. And I tell you, God, how many times has he, when your temptation came, and the days got so dark and dark, day after day after day after day, and you thought, oh my, Lord, how could I have done this thing? How could I have said that thing? How could I have treated this person that way? How could I have had that go through my heart and mind? Always remember this. God will let no more come upon you than that you're able to bear. And when you're no longer able to bear it, you know what He'll do? He'll open a door. Go right through that door. I was talking to Bruce, I believe it was yesterday, and I was asking about a particular man. This man and him and his wife were having troubles, and they had kids. And she didn't want to live with him anymore. And he said, the Lord told me, said, let her go. You go your way, let her go hers. But he said, I did not listen. And said the darkness come over my mind. And you know what he did? He walked up in the front yard. She come out in the front yard and he shot her dead in the front yard. Went to prison. Been in prison for years and years and years. Had let him out. Want to send him to an easier place. You know what he says? He said, I sinned so greatly. I done so wickedly. I sinned against my wife. I sinned against my children. I sinned against her mother and her daddy, my mother and my daddy, my brothers and my sisters. And most of all, sinned against God. And he won't even get out of prison because he feels I got what's coming to me. God said, made a way of escape for him. He wouldn't take it. Sad, ain't it? Sad. God reach and get us. This is the way I look at it. God, if you get a hold of me, get a hold of me. Yeah. And do not, please, do not never, ever let me go. Amen. Don't let me go. Oh, don't let me go. Our Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're so thankful for your promises that you'll never let your sheep perish, and that if we fall, Lord, you pick us up, you restore us, you restore our souls. And our Father, we thank you that you promised us that no matter what temptation we're in, when it gets so heavy, gets so unbearable to where we can't stand it, you'll always make a way of escape for us. Lord, give us sense enough and eyes enough and faith enough to see it. God bless these dear saints. Lord, help us to honor you. And Lord Jesus, keep us. Oh, keep us, keep us, keep us. Hedge our ways in. Hedge us in like you did Job. Put a hedge around us. Put a hedge around us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.